So the first question you've asked is, are individual factors, race, ethnicity, education, previous experience, etc., affecting physical literacy across the lifespan by age and developmental stage? This one's actually a tough one to answer. I would say that physical literacy is not dependent upon ethnicity, right? I don't think it's a human quality, and some might even argue it's more than a human quality. It might be something that proliferates in all animals. Is it affected by things like education? Well, absolutely, and previous experience. So what we do know is that, you know, if we can provide, and education is more than just school, right? So someone's physical literacy across their lifespan will be exacerbated or increased by a multitude of the more educative experiences that they have. And those experiences could be in sport, they could be in school, they could be they could just be experiences where they felt they were learning, you know, with a parent or a grandparent or whatever. And does previous experience matter? I think it does. I think it, like any learning, if we've had a negative experience with a learning endeavor, or we feel that we dealt with it poorly in the past, yes, it will definitely impact. So I think when we're thinking about physical literacy, when I talk about it with people, I tend to talk about it in that strengths-based thinking. So rather than identifying people's previous deficits or what they don't have or what they can't do, I think we start from a point of what they can do. So where is it influenced by individual factors like previous experience? Absolutely. But I also think that we work through that, and we're not inhibited by previous experience. We find the good and move forward. So what's interesting about the age developmental stage thing, absolutely, I actually think that, I don't know about age per se, obviously we're predisposed you know, across our life course to pursue different types of activity. And this is why I think it's really important to understand both orthogenetic and phylogenetic skill acquisition sort of theory, because we understand that there are some movement patterns and movement competence we learn as humans to survive, right? We learn to crawl, you know, we learn to walk, and we learn to run and so forth. We learn those things. We learn them. We just don't get them. We learn them because we need them to survive on this planet. The other lot of skills we learn so we can be part of a larger social group, right? So there's no need to learn to kick a football. We learn to kick a football because it connects us with other humans. We learn to climb a tree, probably partially for a survival reason, but probably partially to be part of a social group of children, whatever. So this is why I think it's really important to position physical literacy as learning, because, yes, some things, they're not innate, but we learn them to survive on this planet. And another set of skills and competencies and movement structures, we learn to be socially included. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how I would answer that. So across the lifespan, what are the benefits of higher levels of physical literacy? So the way I like to think about physical literacy is elemental. Like I think of them as all the different components as being elements on the periodic chart. And people who have high levels of physical literacy, what they have is they have elements from different learning domains, whether they be social or cognitive or emotional or physical. And what makes people pursue physical activity across a lifespan is when those elements bond with other elements, so they turn into these movement compounds. They turn into these movement competencies and structures that have very strong bonds. So I know, for example, I learned to surf, right, which is a, you know, a sort of an object locomotion type skill. But learning to surf and not coupling that strongly with, say, a social understanding, like ethics or rule following, right? I'll find myself not being able to execute that skill long, because surfers are very territorial and they want. I need to link that with an emotional thing, like a connection to the environment. So people who surf, for example, yes, they have this object mode manipulation skill of being able to paddle a board, but they connect it socially or cognitively through rule structures and ethics and behavioral patterns, but then they connect it socially so they fit within the environment and the social groups that participate in that activity. So what I say is the more bonds, the more of these different learning elements that you can piece together around different types of movement competencies, the more likely you are to pursue them across your entire life. So that's where it differs from just thinking about it in terms of fundamental movement skills or being motivated or being, you know, having you've got to connect the dots. And that's the real strength of physical literacy. Can I explain why physical literacy is about learning? Well, I think I've just done that. Like essentially all literacies are about learning. They're not subjects. So when we talk about literacy, we talk about it crossing all aspects of our life, not just in the language arts. Or when we talk about numeracy, we talk about all aspects of mathematical learning, not necessarily what we learn about in mathematics. And this is why physical literacy is very different from physical education. Yes, do we learn to be physically literate? Do we learn aspects of physical literacy and physical education? Absolutely. But physical literacy can be learned in other aspects of the school, right? Yeah. It can be learned at recess, and it can be learned in sport, and it can be learned moving to and from the classrooms and using the steps rather than, okay? So, and in our life, and this is the other thing too, is unlike our literacy doesn't stop when we finish school. Just because we stop studying English or French or we stop studying mathematics when we leave high school, do we stop learning to be literate? Do we stop learning to be numerate? No, the context changes. And when that context changes, it's still a learning phenomenon. So we might be learning it in our workplace. We might have to learn how to manipulate statistics or pie graphs or whatever. They're all numeracy skills, right, which is just mathematical literacy. If I learn to walk or cycle to work or play in the social group in the workplace, it's physical literacy, but it's not physical education. So and learning happens our whole life. And physical literacy is essentially the concept of how we learn and express learning through movement. So it's both a process, I acquire it through doing through movement, but it's also an outcome. I express my learning through movement. Right? I don't express it through writing an essay about how much I love football. I play the football, I live it, right? Or I go walking in the bush or whatever it is. So that's how I would argue. Now, how would I convince policymakers that PL should be a part of the key competency in the curricula, or at least a transversal competence? Well, my argument there is I think unlike a lot of other literacies or other competencies, when we think about the Sustainable Development Goals 2020, there's more to physical literacy than just SDG 4. So schools are especially in curricula trying to say, well, how do we answer against SDG 4? Well, physical literacy is a no-brainer there, because it forces us to think very deeply about what quality physical education looks like and what the learning in schools looks like. But it's bigger than that, because it's about good health and well-being. So it's about SDG 3. But it's not just that. It's about sustainable living, right, and taking care of the environment. So we're starting to this is why it needs to be seen as a competency in the curricula, because it's not pigeonholed by just one sustainable development goal. It essentially answers to about five or six. And by having it in curricula, we can start to understand its validation beyond physical education or beyond what we do in sport. It might be we set up our classrooms differently with standing desks, or they're more mobile classrooms, or taking classrooms outdoors and teaching outside. You know, if we've learned anything in COVID, that's been wonderful, right? We can move and express our learning through our bodies. So that would be my
And this is the link. And this is the link also with space and time.
Absolutely.
So this is very important, because this is where you are in this space and time.
That's
and
right.
If you are not comfortable in this one, then you cannot manage to live in this world.
So. No, you can't. And I think physical understanding how your body interacts with, you know, it's not just how you feel, it's how you interact with others when you move, and how you interact with your environment, and how you see all these things are connected. And so it's really one, it's a bit like numeracy and literacy. It's very much about connecting the dots, seeing value in what we learn beyond the moment in which we acquire it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And there's the lifelong component to it. Yeah. So, yes, you can capture it in a moment, so it is an outcome, but it's part of a longer process that we never actually stop acquiring. Why we want to express our interest and understanding of it is so we can put structures in our society in place that allow people to express that way, you know, allow people to express their learning and live through their bodies and live physically active lives. And because they live more sustainable lives, they're less burden on the healthcare system. They use less public, they use less transport. They have a lower carbon footprint. So all these things are quintessential to what's going to be 21st and some would argue 22nd century living.
Yeah.
Could you explain the periodization of PL to explain?
It was your keynote in Umea.
Yeah, so it's
and I like it very much. So I thought it's a good way to present it.
And it's that Mendeleev model.
Exactly.
So it goes back to what I said before. I said that so what we have at the moment, a bit like when Mendeleev came up with the periodic table of elements, we know some of the elements, right?
Yeah.
We know things like we know that the fundamental movement skills there and parts of health. Relate-based fitness are there and skill-based fitness are there, but we also know things like teamwork are there and problem solving, and we know that rules and strategies and tactics are there, and we know that social connection and all these things are important, and they're across all the different learning domains, but we don't know all of them. So just like Mendeleev, we've got to have space to understand. We understand that all these things matter to someone's physical literacy, and they all interact in some things we know interact really are vital to each other in the same way as some metals, you know, can't exist without oxygen. But then we've got things like noble metals, like when you think of gold, and gold doesn't bond to anything. But when you find it, when you have it, it's worth a lot. So I'm sure there are elements, there'll be elements of physical literacy out there that when you have it, whilst we don't know what it is, it'll just be something really special. It will sit. But most of the stuff's going to be connected, and it's going to be so we have to celebrate what we know, but undertake that quest that Mendeleev said in chemistry and said, listen, there's more stuff out there, because we know that there are people behaving and thinking and moving in ways that we don't really understand why they do this.
Yeah.
So we need better theory, and we need to keep asking. And this is really getting us out of those silos where we've got people just experiment or just looking at movement competencies or movement skills, and people just looking at motivation, and people just looking at the environment in which people move. Where physical literacy researchers are interested in the relationship between all these things in any given place and time. So we're interested in the whole periodic table of elements. We're interested in all of it.
Yeah.
And what we're looking for are things that people haven't discovered yet. That's how I'd like to. You know, we're looking for gold. We're looking for platinum. We're looking for things that are rare and unique but valuable to people's learned experience. So, next question, why is PL not PE or PA? I think I've explained that. If I was to differentiate, physical education is a standalone curriculum intervention.
Exactly.
Physical education happens in schools. It's a subject. It's very rigid for the most part. I mean, there are examples where it becomes more liberal, but for the most part, physical education is one intervention that schools for probably the last 150 years have implemented to try and teach physical literacy, if you could argue that. But is it the only thing? Of course not. Of course not. And you know, people were acquiring physical literacy before schools were even conceived, right? You know, for survival or for social reasons. It's always been part of the human experience. And why isn't it physical activity? Because physical activity really just seeks to quantify amount or intensity. It's largely interested in things like the intensity of the activity we do. And this is a much broader construct. You don't learn physical activity. It's just something you capture. It's how much energy expenditure is occurring, at any given time, through movement. So we're on a. What I will say is, can you have a quality or high quality PE program that doesn't consider this? I'd say no, right? In the same way, could you have a quality mathematics program that didn't consider principles of numeracy? Of course not. So they're definitely informed by it. The other thing I'd say is, can you be physically active and not physically literate? Well, you might have high levels of physical literacy for stuff that has high levels of physical activity, but for other things that has low physical activity might require a great deal of physical literacy. Right, you could argue things like yoga and Pilates are very low in terms of physical activity, but very high in terms of someone's physical literacy. So, it's an interesting relationship, but they are related, but they're not the same. What do individuals need to participate to the physical literacy journey throughout their life? I don't know if I can answer that one. I can't answer question eight. I'd probably need to think about that a little bit more. I don't know. I think what I would say is that what we do know is we know that variety is important in physical literacy. So we know that early specialization is bad and works against long-term physical literacy development for a whole bunch of reasons, increased likelihood of injury, that people over-specialise and don't become pliable or don't learn to transfer. In the same way, if you stick a child in front of a piano and that's all they learn, and that's their musical literacy, right? And then you ask them to transfer that piano skill to a clarinet or to something else, they find it particular, and quite often they'll give it up, right? One in maybe 1,000 become a prodigy, but the rest just hate the piano for the rest of their life. So it's insane, the movement. And if we put children in at a very young age and force them to play one activity or do one thing, and just that's all that matters, not very many make it, and most of them hate it. So I'd say variety is really the quintessential. Variety of environments, variety of contexts, variety is important. How can a person improve their physical literacy? Well, that's really depends. What I think we start, I'll go back. We start with a strengths-based approach. We find about we look for what people can do rather than what they can't. It's always our first question, what can we do? Because it's physical literacy is not determined by disability, or it's not determined by, weight or body shape or anything. It's not determined by any of those things. It's determined by finding a place of comfort in terms of how you move, and then acquiring the learning and the skills to build out from that strength. So that would be it's definitely a strengths-based concept. How and why is physical literacy participating at the knowledge and understanding them? Okay, so question 10 is a little bit hard. What I would argue is I don't know whether it's so much about knowledge and understanding, because in terms of cognition, they're fairly low-order skills. What I would say, physical literacy is about learning and understanding that it requires both surface understanding, and you have to understand the simple things, right, before you can move on to the more complex ones. And that's one of the papers that we've just written. So if you want to become, you've got to be able to do the simple things well and commit them to long-term memory, so you don't expend working memory trying to do more complicated activities. So when we're talking about learning across the life, I'd say it's whether it's a social learning, whether it's a cognitive learning, if it's an emotional learning, or if it's a physical learning, is that what we want to do is it's a combination of things that are easy or surface understandings. We acquire those and lock them into our long-term memory so we can work on the deeper, more complex learnings, things where we have to transfer, where we have to create, okay? Not just
exactly
what we know or what we can recall. It's how we extrapolate and how we diversify these are the things, these are the high order skills or high order learning skills that we can distribute. We can do both cognitively, we can do them socially, we can do them emotionally, and we can even do them physically. Which are the social and cultural factors influencing development? I think they're all important. I think social, there's so much literature on the importance of social structures around movement, right, and social connectivity, both good and bad. So I don't know whether one is more influential than the other. I just see them all as just individual elements. And it's the same with culture. So one of the things we have with culture is culture becomes embedded into our social norms, because what our culture tries to do implicitly is replicate itself, right? So one of the ways culture does replicate itself is usually through movement activities, whether it be sport, whether it be dance, whether it be song. All these sorts of things are ways in which cultures actively proliferate and communicate who they are. So it's one of the things that we find very hard to break free of, right? So it's probably an element like nitrogen. It probably exists everywhere in terms of our physical literacy, where we've got all these cultural influences. And if we're going to try and separate or break from it or not use it, it becomes very hard for us initially. It doesn't mean we can't, but it's just one of those. Well, actually, it's probably more like hydrogen. It seems to be everywhere, but you can hardly just deal with it in isolation. It tends to attach itself to whatever you do. So whether you you'll adapt your movement and your learning because there are cultural factors at play, whether it be around ethnicity, whether it be around time, place, whatever it is. So I think culture is just society, and culture are always elements of physical literacy that are at play, and to tease them out and not consider them is probably very difficult. Can I explain the interaction between the learning domains? Yes. So think about the this goes back to my Mendeley.
It's okay. I'm just arriving in Lausanne, but it's no problem. I stay in the train.
So what I would argue is that the interaction between the learning domains is constant. What we're looking to understand is which ones provide us the most stability to likelihood to come back to a activity or perpetuate with an activity over the time. And I argue that the most stable physical literacy compounds actually have elements from all four. Right? So someone who has just all the social elements together will find it very hard at some point if they don't have the physical learning elements coupled in there, right? The group will somewhat socially exclude them. In the same way as if I don't have those emotional elements around confidence and so forth to keep coming back, the movement sequence breaks down. So if you think about physical literacy using that elemental sort of analogy I use, is that all four learning domains, the people who are the most stable in terms of their physical literacy, have these compounds of movement that draw on all four elements. So they know if they go surfing, I've got the skills I need, I've got the social learning to interact with the group, I've got the confidence, I draw out of emotional. But then also, I've also got the cognitive problem. So I know I can problem solve. I know that this is a good day to go surfing, but this isn't, or this is, I can solve the problems of what the water's telling me today, right? I should go out, I shouldn't go out, I should paddle out in this rip, I should catch waves. They're the when those all things interact, I've got a movement sequence for life. Yeah. Any of those start to break down, the stability of me pursuing that, if a social skill falls apart. And I don't feel like I'm included in the football team. Quite often, the rest of it will fall apart as well. So what's really interesting, why it's such a powerful idea to think about it across the four learning domains, is because if we're coaches or if we're teachers or if we're parents or if we're working in an old folks home, Whatever we're doing across the life course, what we're looking for is, you know, we can think about every client, every student, every player that we deal with. We think about them in these four domains and we look at what they need. We know what they have. They have these skills, they have these, but they lack this motivation. So let me focus my time and energy on that element or that domain. They don't need the other part. So it gives us this sort of differential diagnosis to try and get to what a lot of the other researchers are saying. You know, they're pushing physical activity for life, but they're driving it from purely a skills base or purely a motivation base or purely a social base, where really we're interested in the interaction that all those have. And I think I've answered question 13. I think we value and promote physical literacy within our society because we know that we're going to need to lead more sustainable active lives. And that's not just around quality education. That's around good health. This generation and the people living on the planet need to have a smaller carbon footprint than the generation before them. Right, they're living for longer. They need to take better care of the planet, and they can't exist being inactive. They can't exist having poor health. They can't exist being carbon intensive. They can't exist, and that they stop learning after they finish formal education. So none of these things work, right?
Yeah.
So we've got to have a concept or a construct that we can apply to all facets of our society to carry people. We've got to be able to apply it in our hospitals and in our public health and in our doctor surgeries. We've got to apply it in our schools and our childcare centres, in our aged care homes. We've got to apply it in our sporting infrastructure. And we've got to reconceptualize that. And we're going to break that sort of specialized model. So, and then we've got to get all those people talking together.
Yeah.
So they can be the most efficient. They can contribute where they're best at, and then they can share their knowledge with other organisations that struggle in that space. I think I've answered your questions the best I can, Rosemary.
Thank you very much. No, thank you very much. It's perfect for me. It's perfect. Yeah. Thank you, and I appreciate it because actually I don't understand why they don't see the social domain as a core component of this. I don't understand why, but it's...
Did you see the email that Saskia just sent through? It says personal and social and learning to learn. It's a life...
Yeah. That's why, exactly. I saw this. This is Maria Gabriel. She's the responsible for education, sport and innovation in Bruxelles.
This is fascinating.
Exactly. I thought I will write her. I would just write her and say that we appreciate and we would like to be in contact.
Okay. So she's got some stuff in there that I really like. I tell you, she's got stuff on empathy, communication.
Yeah.
That, I love those. So the growth mindset stuff, it's a little bit sketchy, but it goes to what we talk about, you know, what we talk about in terms of strengths-based, focus on what people can do rather than what they can't. I wouldn't say growth mindset. I'd say strengths-based. But critical thinking, yes, managing learning. These are all things that we should be dealt with. It talks about well-being and flexibility and self-regulation. These are all things we talk about in terms of physical literacy, right?
Yeah,
reach out to her. I'm going to download this report and read it. I only just came through then. I'm going to send it down to my EA.
I think we could maybe I let you read it, and maybe after this we could just send a message to her and say that we are working in this project of physical literacy and we would like to maybe to speak with her about this. And so maybe this is a step to move EU.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. You want to turn your recording off? Might want to do that now.
I will.
In case we say something and we get ourselves in trouble.
I will.